Brother Wilson. Thank you for being in church this morning. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. We began this study last year, and I'd like to resume our study of the book of Hebrews. Some have memories of elephants, but most of us have memories of likened to a tortoise, slow on the uptake. So we're going to spend a little time just reviewing up until the point that we were at. And if you can't remember the point that we were at in our study of the book of Hebrews, well then that confirms the fact that we need to review what we've studied in this wonderful book. Hebrews chapter 1, first, second and third verse read, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholdeth all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Let's bow for prayer. O God in heaven, we are grateful for your graciousness towards us, and we are grateful for our Lord Jesus, and I pray that you will teach us, O God in heaven, about our wonderful Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his precious name we pray and ask, Amen. The book of Hebrews is a rich book in its emphasis. At the heart of this book is the simple but yet profound theme of biblical Christianity, and that is that Christ is all in all. And to know Christ, to know him as personal Saviour, and to live a Christ-centered life is to experience what the Lord Jesus referred to in John 10:10, that I have come to give life and life more abundantly. So in honouring Jesus Christ, you and I as Bible-believing Christians are not missing anything that's worthwhile, that brings lasting satisfaction, that leads to lasting peace or joy. In Christ, we have all in all. And this book is addressed to, in its context, Hebrew Christians, Jewish believers. Now, bear in mind that when the book of Hebrews was written, the temple still was in existence. And no doubt some of these Hebrew Christians were looking over the fence and maybe wondering, am I missing out on anything? And maybe some of us as Bible-believing Christians have been looking over the fence over the last couple of months, wondering, have I been missing out in some way in living for Christ? That's the essence of this book. The author, God himself, is the author of the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews is what we refer to as a general epistle. It is not addressed to a specific local church. For example, the book of James, the general epistle of James, and the general epistle of 1st and 2nd Peter. And also the book of Hebrews, they are general epistles. They're not addressed specifically to a local church. For example, the church at Corinth. So God is addressing his people, and trying to encourage his people that to know Christ and to live for Christ is all in all. And there's no need to consider going back to the old life. So that is the essence of this book. Note there in verse number 1, it begins with God. Who is the author of the book of Hebrews? There is no natural author. The Apostle Paul didn't write this book. It is God's book. In fact, Hebrews is the only book in the Bible that begins with the name of God. God is a father to the fatherless, is he not? So he has chosen to adopt this book as his very own. And as he does so, we find within the contents of this book an emphasis upon the fact that God the Son is all in all, and to know Jesus Christ and to live for Jesus Christ, you can experience life eternal and life more abundantly. So the book of Hebrews in its context is addressed to Jewish people. As I've said, it is a general epistle. Now there are some main goals within this book that will help you and I in application. Because just like many of these Jewish Christians were struggling in their new Christian life, and maybe for some, they were looking over the fence and wondering, am I missing out? May I assure you, Bible-believing Christian, in living for Christ and honoring Christ, you are not missing out. And all of God's people said, okay, smile if you're awake this morning. Okay, we're in church. I know you're not used to being in church. Let's rejoice in the Lord. Let's look like we're happy to be in church. And all of God's people said, amen. Okay, good. All right. Now, God's people need to understand that in Christ we are not missing out on anything. We have missed for a number of months of not being in church, but in Christ we are not missing out on anything. To know Christ is to know fullness of life. To honor Christ is to have fullness of life. And the book of Hebrews addresses this issue where God's people can be tempted to look over the fence and wonder, this living for Christ is hard yakka. And it is. Maybe I'm missing out. Maybe I've made a mistake. Maybe it's not true. Doesn't seem to be working in my life. If you can relate to any of the above, this book is for you. Note there in chapter 2, verse 18. Chapter 2, verse 18 of the book of Hebrews. It addresses Christians wherever located. And this letter is intended to encourage, number one, wavering and immature Christians. In the stricter context, wavering and immature Jewish Christians. In the practical application, wavering and immature Christians, full stop. Note here in chapter 2, verse 18, for in that he himself, that is Jesus Christ, hath suffered being tempted or tested, he is able to succor or to help them that are being tempted or tested. So maybe you and I are experiencing a little bit of opposition, and in that opposition you are wondering, is this really worth it? Is it really worth it to live out the Christian life? And no doubt for many of these Jewish Christians, no doubt persecuted for their faith, in an Orthodox Jewish home, if you convert to Christianity, listen to me, are you listening to me? If you convert to Christianity, you are considered dead. And those that are really Orthodox, they would actually have a funeral service for you. You are cast out of the home and you are considered a dead man. It's true. So for some of these Jewish converts to convert to Jesus Christ, it was a sacrifice. So the book of Hebrews, God authors this book to encourage those that are wavering, maybe due to persecution or simply due to lack of maturity. Note there in chapter 3, verse number 12, please. Another intent of this book is not only to encourage wavering and immature Christians that might be enduring opposition, persecution, but also another main address of this book is to encourage us to remain faithful when it comes to our Christian faith. Note there in verse 12 of the third chapter, the Bible reads, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief." Note this next little phrase, "in departing from the living God." Departing from the living God. No doubt some of these Hebrew Christians or so-called Hebrew Christians went back to Judaism. That's hard to believe, isn't it? Well, think about it. That's not very hard to believe. Is it? You know of so-called Christians that claim to be Christians that are no longer living the Christian life today, do you not? Put up your hand if you know of at least one. Those of you on live stream, do likewise. Yes, most of us. Nothing new under the sun. Some that claim to know Jesus Christ, their Savior, but they're not living for Christ any longer. And some have been brash enough to deny Christ altogether. See, nothing new. So, God, in addressing his people, is encouraging his people not to depart from the living God. Because in Christ there is life, and there is life more abundantly. And all of God's people said, amen to that. You are not missing out, beloved, in living for Christ. Young people, live for Christ. You are not missing out. Believe me. Hear my voice, read my lips, interpret my hands. In Christ you are not missing out. To know Christ is to know fullness of joy. To know Christ is to live in victory. And God authors this book to not only encourage wavering and immature believers, but also to encourage God's people remain faithful, because many of these Hebrew Christians were being persecuted and many were disowned for their Christian faith. Don't depart from the living God. Some of you might be familiar with the name Joshua Harris. Joshua Harris has written a number of books to do with relationships, dating, very, very good material. Not that long ago, Joshua Harris, he grew up in a Christian home.
He was actually homeschooled. That's the highest grade of education in the home. Amen. I believe that. He was homeschooled. He grew up in a fundamental church. As the years went on, he became a pastor. Not so much of a fundamental church, but a Christian church. And he wrote some wonderful materials on relationships for young people. Dating, kissing, dating goodbye. Courtship. Well, only the other year I read that he has turned back on his faith. He claims he no longer believes in Bible Christianity. He rejects what he's written, that I don't believe that anymore. Has separated from his wife. Once upon a time, used mildly to encourage young people to maintain purity in their Christian walk. Now today, he denies. He claims to be an atheist. Is that for real, Pastor? Yes. Was he really a Christian? I'm not sure. But I think the book of Hebrews has been written to help us with such situations. Because there's no doubt there are some Christians that claim to be Christians that today will not darken the door of a church. And we're wondering what went wrong. Either they were not saved, or number two, they spent too much time looking over the fence and wondering, oh, maybe I'm missing out, that Jewish temple, so glamorous. Because remember, when Hebrews was written, that temple was still standing. Maybe I'm missing out. And some, no doubt, went back. Were they really Christians? One wonders. But my point is simply this, beloved, in Christ we have all in all, and God authors this book to remind us and to encourage us to live for Christ, to know Christ, to live for Christ. You are not missing out. And this book is to encourage us not to waver. This is to encourage those of us that need to be reminded of the fact that in Christ we have all in all, and an encouragement for us to remain true to the Word of God and to guard our hearts lest we depart, as it reads there in verse 12, in departing from the living God. Take heed, brethren. Look, it's referring to Christians. Have you got this? It's referring to Christians. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you what? An evil heart. In Hebrews 4:23, the Bible teaches us, guard your hearts with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. If we don't guard our hearts, evil can creep in. And we can have what the Bible refers to as an evil heart. Then it defines the evil heart, an evil heart of what? Talk to me. Unbelief. I don't believe that anymore. Well, may I remind Joshua Harris, if you get to see this preach this morning, whether you believe or not, this is still true. God's word remains true. Even though we believe not, he remains faithful. And all of God's people said, amen. It's okay to respond in church. It's okay. And also, another purpose within this book is to encourage us to move on and to grow in our Christian faith. Let me ask you this morning, do you really know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? Or is it just that you've got knowledge up here? But there's a great distance between having Christ, having a knowledge of Christ, and knowing Christ personally as your Savior. There is an eternal difference. And for those of us that are in Christ, the Bible encourages us to move on. Note there in chapter 6, please, of Hebrews. Chapter 6, note then verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto what? Perfection or maturity. Let's move on. Let's move on to Christ-likeness. Let's move beyond the basic. Let's move beyond the milk to the meat. So another main emphasis within this book, if you and I are to be kept from wavering and to be protected from departing from the living God, we need to make sure that we know Christ, and in knowing Christ, we need to mature in Christ's likeness. So that is another main goal within this book. Let us go on under perfection. The perfection is not referring to being sinless, it's referring to maturity, becoming more like Jesus Christ. All of us need to become more like Jesus Christ, do we not? Of course we do. So how can these believers endure, be faithful, and grow spiritually? Well, the essence of this book is we must focus on Jesus Christ. When we take our eyes off Christ, we will begin to sink. And I don't know Joshua Harris personally, but I would dare say at some point he took his eyes off Christ and he began to sink. Oh, but Pastor, he was an author. And he was a pastor. So what? We all have the same flesh. And it's by the grace of God we are what we are. And we need to guard our hearts lest an evil heart develop within us. This evil-heartedness of unbelief. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So don't think that you and I are exempt. Oh, Pastor, it'll never be me. Listen, I can give you a bunch of people that were mightily used of God, but now do not darken the door of a church. Some got so desperate that they took their own lives. Bible-believing Christians, pastors, what went wrong? Evil heart of unbelief. And that's why we need this book. That's why we need to be reminded that Jesus Christ is all. And to know Christ is to know all. And beloved, you and I are not missing out by living for Christ. And the book of Hebrews is to encourage us. Let's mature. Let's keep moving forward. If you're not moving forward, you are sliding backwards. Hebrews confirms that biblical Christianity is superior overall, especially over Judaism. Judaism, in essence, with all of its rituals and ordinances, are only a shadow. We're only a shadow of a greater one to come. That one is Jesus Christ. Note there in Colossians chapter 2.
Colossians chapter 2. Note verse 8 and 9. The sufficiency of Christ. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. After the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Note verse 17. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Now, if we had time, we would study verses 8 to 17 in detail, but in essence, it's referring to the fact that all of these Jewish traditions, all of these ceremonial laws, had an end in view. They all foreshadowed Jesus Christ. And because Christ has come, we are not restricted by these ceremonial laws. That in Christ we have all in all. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So all of these ordinances that God's people had to keep within the pages of the Old Testament, all of them foreshadowed one to come, Jesus Christ. And in his coming, all of those ordinances have been nailed to the cross. They are no longer needful, because to have Christ is to have all. And you and I, as a Bible-believing Christian, need to be reminded to have Christ, beloved, is to have all. Our problem is that we need to honor him. Our issue is often that we're not growing in his likeness. This is the essence of this book. God is very purposeful in his communication. This book is to encourage, to strengthen Christians, Jewish Christians, non-Jewish Christians, in their Christian faith. See, God has previously spoken to the Jewish people predominantly through the prophets. If you go back to the book of Hebrews, please. Note then verse number 1, Hebrews 1:1. God, who in sundry times or past times and in divers manners, in a variety of ways, God spoke through the prophets via dreams, via revelations, direct revelation, spake in time past unto the fathers, that is to the leadership of the Jewish people, by the prophets. So God has previously spoken to his people by his prophets in a variety of ways. In Numbers 12:6, it talks about visions, dreams. But with the completion of Scripture, God speaks to us first and foremost and alone through the Scriptures. This is God's revelation for man. This is all I need to know. And if God hasn't mentioned it in the Scriptures, don't worry about it. Amen. Pastor, did Adam and Eve have a belly button? I don't know. Does the Bible say either? No. Don't worry about it. What came first, the chicken or the egg? I don't know. Does the Bible teach? No, don't worry about it. Were those trees in the Garden of Eden, did they have rings within them? I don't know. Does it matter? No. Does the Bible teach? No, don't worry about it.
Beloved, you worry about God has revealed. And that's our problem. We're not concerned about what God has revealed, to obey what God has revealed. And that's why many of us have problems. And that's why many of us are struggling. Because we're getting caught up chasing some rabbit instead of going to thus saith the Lord and obeying what God has revealed in His Word. Amen. Thanks, Pastor. Jesus Christ is superior. And God writes within this book, in time past, I've spoken via the prophets, but now I speak via my Son, Jesus Christ. Look at verse 2. Hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, Jesus Christ, whom He, God the Father, hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Jesus Christ, our Creator. Look at the third verse. Who being the brightness of His glory, and the express image of His Son, of His person, pardon me, God manifested in the flesh, upholding all things by the word of His power. Jesus Christ not only created everything, it is by Him we consist. He holds all things together. And then the third verse goes on to read, when He had by Himself, that's a very, very important little phrase there, purged our sins. Mary is not a co-redeemer with Jesus Christ. That is blasphemy, Catholic. That is blasphemy. My Bible teaches me that by Himself He purged our sins. He paid for our sins once and for all, and He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. God has previously spoken by His prophets, but now for you and I, God speaks to us by His Son. And God in this wonderful book is encouraging these believers that are struggling, either due to persecution or either due to maturity, don't depart from the living God. Go on unto perfection. Grow into Christ's likeness. Because God has spoken to you and I in the present, in the person of Jesus Christ. Of which the Bible teaches us in the third verse, when He had made by Himself, purged our sins. Therefore, the superiority of Jesus Christ is emphasized within this book. In order to inform, in order to equip, in order to motivate God's people to progress spiritually towards Christ's likeness. That we might have a genuine walk with God and guard our hearts, lest evil creeps in. The evil of unbelief. Let me ask you this morning, my friend, have you received Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior? He Himself purged our sins. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried and He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. And if you and I will repent of sin and receive Jesus Christ as Savior, we can have forgiveness because payment has been made. Jesus Christ is all in all. So So God, in this wonderful book, is encouraging God's people, take your eyes off the prophets. In time past, I've spoken through the prophets, but today I speak in and through my beloved Son, who is the brightness of my glory. To know Christ is to know all. And my friend, this morning, I trust and pray that you know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior. That you could say unashamedly, it was on this day I received Jesus Christ as my Savior. I still remember the day, Broughton Road, Artarmon, 5 minutes walk from here, in a green top, blue jeans, white sneakers. I was at my friend's house, John Sager, and there on his mattress I repented of my sin and I invited Jesus Christ to be my Savior. It was a cloudy day. I was 14 years of age. I walked home. I didn't understand everything, but I knew something, that God had saved my soul. I've never forgotten it. That was a long, long time ago. What about you? Do you know Jesus Christ as Savior? Could it be that some of these so-called Hebrew Christians turned back because they were never within the fold? And could it be that some of us will turn back because we are not in the fold? I challenge you to make sure of your salvation. And that in knowing Christ, you know all that there is to know. For Jesus said, I've come to give life, and I've come to give life more abundantly. And God has authored this book to help us to appreciate the fact that to know Christ is to know all. To live for Christ is to really live. I'd like to think, if somebody was to ask you, how's your Christian life going? That you would respond by saying to this effect, I'm having the time of my life. I wouldn't have it any other way. I would never go back. I am having a blast. Yes, there are some little hiccups every now and again. I stumble every now and again. But I'm telling you, to know Christ is to know all. And the purpose of this book is to encourage us. To know Christ is to know all. But my friend, you better make sure that you know Christ. And then we'll be able to make sense of the book of Hebrews. And I trust it will encourage us to go on unto perfection. That is Christ-likeness. Let's bow for prayer. Let's say.